Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, good evening, and welcome to the NIIT Limited post-annual investor call. This is Rochelle, the Chorus Call conference operator. As a reminder, for the duration of this presentation, all participant lines will be in a listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should anyone need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vijay Thadani, CEO, NIIT Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Thadani.
Good evening and good morning to all of you. Thank you very much for joining us on the call. We are here to discuss the fourth quarter results as well as the annual results. In fact, I would start with annual results and work my way to the fourth quarter and try to give you a quick overview. The results have been on the website for about an hour and a half, so you may have got a chance to absorb them. Of course, they've been with the stock exchanges for more than 2 hours now. I would start, as usual, by talking about the environment that we faced in the last quarter, and then talk about the annual results, then the quarterly results, since it's also the beginning of the new year. We are looking at also talking about a little bit about the new year. And then we'll open it up for Q&A. First, if I was to describe last quarter, I would, in few words, it will be a volatile environment, weak sentiment, and delayed decisions. So consumer sentiment was affected by delaying joining dates of fresh hires, job losses in IT sector, fear of anti-outsourcing measures by the U.S. government. And that's what we faced in the consumer segment in India. On the other hand, general hiring in IT and ITES sector remained unaffected, was affected, but job market for specialist skills where specific skills were required, we believe, remained robust. And that's visible in our results. Hiring freeze in private banks and financial services players, we believe, will continue for some more quarters, though the outlook is beginning to brighten with the latest announcement of PSU banks announcing plans to hire about 30,000 people this year. Delay in release of new tenders, which came up in the schools business, and slower decision making due to code of conduct and issues relating to the general election. On the other hand, central and state governments, those who had their monies organized and those who had their tenders released, accelerated their spend to fulfill targets before the March closing and before they had to cross the gate of the code of conduct. And general in the corporate space across the world, economic uncertainty and liquidity pressure did cause delays in release of annual budgets, allocation of new projects, discretionary spends, etc. So overall, volatile environment, weak sentiment, delayed decisions. In that backdrop, now let's just look at the last year. Last year, of course, has seen from a very high bullish sentiment in the beginning of the year to the sentiment which I just described. And in that overall sense, if we read our financial results, our system-wide revenues up 21% to be at 16.893 billion rupees. Net revenues are up 14% to be 11.486 billion rupees. EBITDA is up 15% at 1.186 billion. EBITDA is improved by 4 basis points. There, of course, have been two contributors to the EBITDA could have been better. One, of course, the start of a new business such as NIIT Unica contributed to that. And the second, the impact of the hedging loss because of the hedging positions we had to the tune of 82 million rupees. PAT is at 698 million for the year, is lower than last year, down 8%. However, if you account for the hedging losses, about 134 million impact in PAT, and the deferred tax asset provision differential, we had some deferred tax asset benefit from Element K's past losses last year, which was much, much lesser this year, and some one-time benefits which we had last year, which didn't get repeated. That made a difference of 90 million. So if you look at them through operation sense, even the profit after tax has grown fairly comfortably. EPS is at 4.2 rupees per share and board recommended a dividend of 65%. We already talked about NIIT Unica commenced operations and clocked 25 million of revenues. ILS enrollments overall were up 13%. SLS order intake was very robust, 3.3 billion rupees, and CLS order intake was $139.4 million. On the website, you would have also seen a slide on business highlights, where I think in each of the businesses we saw substantial progress, whether it was launching new partnerships with Cisco and SAS in ILS IT, or launching new courses in financial literacy and dual qualification segment for the finance and management training space, or launch a full-scale nationwide launch of eGuru, which was a private school solution which has met with reasonable degree of success in the first quarter of its existence. And then in corporate learning solutions, where we had significant wins in e-learning products as well as training outsourcing, which in many ways outshone in terms of the otherwise depressed market conditions that exist in that marketplace. So overall, we believe we did improve our leadership position, and DataQuest agreed with us. Overall, in consolidated financials, if you go to one level of detail, we see net revenues grew by 14%, EBITDA grew by 15%, depreciation, there was a change of depreciation to the tune of 116 million rupees, 647 of the depreciation versus 529 last year. This is caused primarily by new project assets that we added because of the new school learning solution orders, but we can get into more detail if you require. In other income, on one hand, we had the benefit of foreign currency movement positive, but the hedging loss was 135 million rupees. Otherwise, our other income position could have been much, much stronger. Then at tax, we last year had the Element K deferred tax asset provision, which we did not get the same level because we consumed a lot of it last year, this year, and therefore to that extent the tax does appear high. Even though in real terms, in terms of taxation on amount of tax paid, in real terms would be comparable to last year. In fact, would be a little higher because of higher benefit of Indian operations. Operational net profit, therefore, was down at 389 million rupees. Share of associates, profit from associates was also lower, 309 compared to 334. Therefore, overall, 698 million rupees of PAT, 60 compared to 756 million last year. If to this 698 million, to one-time kind of adjustment, 90 million towards deferred tax asset and 134 million which is hedging loss, if they were added, then you would see a decent growth in PAT as well. So overall, if one was to analyze this and if we kept these things out, then in revenue terms we had an overall growth in FY09 operations of 15%. Our EBITDA should have been 11% but for hedging losses. And our operational PAT should have been 517 instead of the number that you see here. And that's what we have tried to reconcile in terms. Overall impact in hedging was 134 million rupees. Overall impact of new business, which is Unica, was minus 58. Overall impact of extraordinary items was minus 40. And in extraordinary, I talked to you about tax. Similarly, there was a one-time extraordinary this year, which I have adjusted again. So that is how we can reconcile the year with the previous year. By business line, we'll get into a level of detail. We have started talking about an important part of our strategy, which is to look at how do we utilize the IP that we have created over a period of time. And in tomorrow's investor meet, in fact, we would like to share with you what kind of IP assets we have developed over a period of time and how we are leveraging them. But an important piece of data that we would start sharing with you now onwards is the revenue that we are getting out of IP IP-based revenue. So in 07, that revenue was 35%. In 08, it was 37%. In 09, it is 40% of the total net revenue. And if you see the differential, you can see that because of IP, new IP creation as well as focus on IP-led revenue, we've been able to add substantial part of new growth. And therefore, the benefits in future for us would be a non-linear growth, which, by the way, is visible even in this year. Our headcount has decreased while our revenue has increased. Reach and scalability, competitive entry barriers, speed to market, cost leadership, which are obvious. The other thing which I would like to talk about in the overall sense in last year, though it was more visible in the second half than in first, was the cost control and cash conservation. We believe we have been able to achieve savings to the tune of 20% in specific fixed costs on an annualized basis, and these cost control measures will continue in this year. We also believe that we've been able to reduce the working capital requirement, both in terms of inventory and specific current assets, and therefore, that would be our focus on liquidity and leverage to remain comfortable as we grow through the high capital intensity of projects in some of the school segments that we have this year. If we were to look at the breakup of our revenue, system-wide revenue, individual IT solutions contributed nearly 53%. Its share increased to 55% because of a 31% change or growth. Schools had a 37% growth. Corporate had a 5% growth in system-wide revenue terms, and new businesses also added some growth. In terms of EBITDA, as we can see, most of the EBITDA still comes out of ILS IT business, followed by schools, which has a decent change in EBITDA, 63%, and ILS, which had a 30% improvement in EBITDA. Corporate, of course, had a lower EBITDA than last year, and new businesses consumed a part of the EBITDA. Our growth geography-wise was 22% in India, 34% in the rest of the world, and 15% in US and Europe. In the rest of the world includes China. Both China, Africa, Vietnam, they had pretty good years. And when we get into the details of each one of the businesses, we'll talk a little bit about the impact of these on our total revenues. Coming down to the quarterly financials, our net revenue was 3.008 million rupees, which was just marginally better, about 10% better than the same period last year. The consolidated system-wide revenues were 22%, however, and this reflects the fact that more growth came out of overseas geographies in this particular quarter. EBITDA margin improved by 93 basis points to 12%. Net profit is reduced by 30% to 177 million. It was affected by the hedging losses and the tax differential that I talked about. So overall, it was a robust business performance and improved profitability at an operating level, but due to the taxation and hedging measures, we did not get the benefit of that to the bottom line. Business highlights: ILS IT had a revenue growth of 15% year-on-year with a margin improvement of 124 basis points year-on-year. CLS had a revenue growth of 11% and an EBITDA of 95 million, which shows a margin improvement of 192 basis points. So CLS had a particularly good quarter. SLS revenues grew 16% year-on-year to 442 million and an EBITDA margin of 18%, which was 653 basis points better than last year. And this was on the back of a very strong order intake of 1.008 billion, which includes two strong orders from Rajasthan and Assam, adding 2,048 schools in the quarter alone. In consolidated financials, the EBITDA improved by 20%. Depreciation impact was very high, 192 million compared to 127 last year, and these are mostly the depreciation of the new orders that we have started implementing. Other income had a minus 36 compared to a positive 24 last year. Profit before tax, therefore, was 137 compared to 201. Tax was 40 instead of 24 last year, and therefore the impact of that on net profit was 96. Add to that the share of profits from associates, which is 80. We get an EPS of 1.1 and a PAT of 177 million rupees. Once again, you can see that the continuing businesses had a decent quarter. Individual business had a 23% EBITDA, institutional business had 18% EBITDA, and even corporate business had a 6% EBITDA. On the other hand, new businesses, and in this case both Unica as well as FMT, had Unica for obvious reasons because it was their second full quarter of operation. And FMT, because of the depressed conditions in the banking sector, did have a bad quarter in many ways, and they had a minus 48 million. Overall, we therefore have an EBITDA of 364, which is what is the total EBITDA for the quarter. Going into one more level of detail, ILS IT. We had a 35% year-on-year growth in system-wide revenues, 15% net revenues growth, 22% in EBITDA, and an improvement of 124 basis points in EBITDA margin. In JFM last quarter, 51% of revenue came from India, 29% from rest of the world, and 20% from China. What is interesting is the contribution of China and the rest of the world, and this is contributed by the new centers we had launched in China in previous quarters, as well as some of the new orders that we, a new engagement with government we are implementing in South Africa. Overall, enrollments grew only by plus 3%, but that's in the consumer space, in the institutional alliances space, which is not visible here, the growth was even better. The enrollments have been shown to be on a like-to-like basis because last year we had an aberration of a new Microsoft product launch which had added some 9 or 10,000 enrollments, but those are very, very low-priced enrollments, just under 1,000 rupees per enrollment. So we've taken those out from both sides to make sure that we have a like-to-like comparison. What was very satisfying was the placements. They were up 41% over the same period last year. So this is interesting. On one side, we read in the newspapers that a large number of graduates are not able to get joining dates or appointment letters. On the other hand, we see a 41% growth in placements. So it proves one point very, very clear, very, very clearly, that if you have a specific skill that the industry requires, then getting a job is not a problem. And NIT's decision to get into those specific skill certification areas, I think, is well justified on that basis. If you look at the year, overall enrollment growth was 13%. We added 44 new centers, 24 in India, 20 overseas. China, system-wide revenue grew 35%. IMS enrollment grew 67%. IMS, or Infrastructure Management Services, is the targeted area that we have after software engineering, which is showing phenomenal growth, and that growth focus will continue during this year as well. Our revenue capacity utilization during the year was 56% compared to 55% last year, and if you look at in overall terms, that gave it benefit in terms of operating margin of 123 basis points improvement. If you look at schools, I talked about during the quarter, but during the year we had a 3.3 billion rupees of order intake. We added 4,278 schools, of which 271 were non-GSA schools. GSA contributed 73% of revenue versus 72% last year. The reason is very clear. We had large wins in government sector, and there were a large number of tenders decided. But GSA or non-GSA itself also grew fairly decently at 31%. The nationwide launch of eGuru and ICS solutions has been received extremely well. We have also launched a web multimedia curriculum based on Adobe Suite this year. Cumulative number of schools that we service has now reached 12,159. We are closing the year with a very robust order book of 3.25 billion rupees, 32%, which means a third of it will make it that next year about 110 crores revenues already assured based on this order book. That puts us in a very comfortable position for next year. In corporate learning solutions, over the year we had a 5% growth in revenues, but our margin declined by 168 basis points. What's not visible in this result is that we had a positive kick because of exchange rate. Otherwise, in dollar terms, we did have a negative growth in two segments most certainly. One was custom content development, and the second was the print and publishing part of Element CA business. During the quarter, we did get some very decent orders for training outsourcing as well as e-learning products. And the e-learning product orders from a large insurance company, a large food company, and a large Canadian bank, maybe the largest, were indeed very satisfying because those we won in straight contests against the big competitor that we have in this space. In terms of new businesses, we did have a fairly troubled year for IFBI because of the banking segment woes and the current issues. However, they responded by coming up with new programs, and they made up for a lot of loss in the of what they lost because of the banking sector's recruitment freeze. They gained a part of that through some of the new programs. NIT Imperia also had some good successes, but I think the overall weak sentiment in the corporate marketplace affects them as well. New businesses therefore had a slightly difficult year compared to the year prior to that, where they had already broken even and had started making money. Looking at the balance sheet, the return on capital employed for the year, if we do not take the impact of hedging, has moved up to 17.3%. But if we take the impact of hedging, then it's at 15.4%. Fixed assets added during the year was 1.6 billion rupees or 163 crores. More than half of these were contributed by project-related assets, as well as new initiatives and new products and new businesses that we talked about. Our DSOs at the end of the year were slightly worse, and that essentially contributed by delays due to collections from government receivables, which would have, which would be because of the year-end billing that would have, or year-end orders that we would have executed. Overall, receivables have become much more healthier than the previous year. 180 days plus receivables have reduced, and the health of each of the receivables in each of the businesses has been much better overall. Headcount-wise, we are 209 less than less than last year. We are at 3,641. So in a way, we had a 15% growth in revenue with a headcount which was 209 less over last year. Shareholding pattern is available, and I think everybody is familiar of. If there have been some changes in the shareholding pattern. We have had some reduction in foreign institutional investors, and domestic institutions and domestic investors have taken a place for that. Overall, we would like to talk about the future directions as well in the Q&A session, but I thought I would like to sum up right now so that I leave adequate time for Q&A. And before I close this, I also want to make sure that I have extended a personal invitation to each one of you to join us at 6:30 p.m. Tomorrow, which is 28th of May, at the Indian Merchant Chambers in Churchgate, where we are having an investor meet in Mumbai. Before ours, we have also the NIT Technologies. In case you're interested in doing that, you could combine both of them. 4 to 6 would be there, and 6:30 to 8:30 would be NIT. And we look forward to having each one of you there, and look forward to answering your questions now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Thadani. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. At this time, participants that have questions may please press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw from the question queue, please press star followed by 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone with a question may please press star and 1 at this time. Our first question is from the line of Manik Taneja of MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, just wanted to understand, given that our growth rates in our individual learning business have been tapering down over the past 2 quarters and the subdued hiring expected from IT companies, just wanted to understand what kind of margins can we actually maintain going forward in that part of the business? And secondly, on your comments on the corporate learning business side would be really welcome. Thank you.
Okay. So, as just to respond to this, I will talk about the future. I will ask Mr. Raghavan to answer your question on the future prospects in the individual learning solutions business. But I just wanted to give you one line on the margin management. Margin management has lots to do with how you manage the capacity. And in the last 1 year, even though we saw that the consumer sentiment was weakening, we did manage our capacity utilization in a better manner, as well as the fixed cost structure, so that we could even improve our margin at a lower growth rate. As far as future growth prospects are concerned, I would request Raghu to say a few words.
Hi, good evening. As for the future prospects are concerned, we have a couple of segments which are extremely active, and we are finding good traction in them. The first among them is the infrastructure management services area, what has been traditionally called as hardware and networking. That area has been very, very active, and for the last whole year, we have actually grown in enrollment in that space by about 67%, and that's a very robust area of growth. There are lots of job opportunities there. Second thing I would say is, if you look at the shorter duration, job-oriented certification math programs, technology programs, there has been good uptake of those programs. We even introduced a very new product responding to the market sentiments for getting job ready soon, called as Get Job Ready in 99 Days Diploma Programs. They have also been taken up pretty well. So these are extremely robust areas. When it comes to future fresh enrollment, in the recent past, we are finding some students' hesitation in taking decisions and deferment of decisions, etc. But we have very strong reasons going in favor of individual training because of reduced campus recruitment by large organizations. This sends a signal to the students that they have to get ready themselves and get skilled in order to stand a good chance for the job, as well as to be better than the other person. So there is a lot of pressure on the individuals to get trained. So we expect the sentiments to get reversed in terms of them taking up even longer-term programs soon. And as an evidence, Vijay mentioned about the growth in our own placements of 41% in the last quarter, 35% on an annualized basis. It's only growing. So we kind of expect that the current market is going to push individuals to get trained, and therefore that will all go well for our business.
Just wanted to understand what proportion of your total cost in this part of the business would be fixed cost, would still continue, you will continue to incur them irrespective of revenue growth?
About 60% of the cost in more ways than one is fixed cost, and which also includes part of semi-fixed cost. About 40% of the cost, I would say, is variable.
Okay, thank you. And just a couple of bookkeeping questions. Your cash in books at the end of the quarter and cash debt position, as well as your net block of assets.
Okay, our debt position at the end of the quarter was 3,481. Our cash was 749 million rupees.
Okay. And your net block of assets at the end of the quarter?
Net block of assets, 5,114.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taneja. Our next question is from the line of Dipan Shah of Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Vijay had a couple of more questions. One is on Unica. Can you just give us a more update? We had about 300 odd enrollments during the quarter. So how scalable is it and what you can expect in that looking at the overall scenario? And just for the new businesses as a whole, how do you see the profitability going ahead in this current year?
Okay, I will also ask my colleague Ashish and Raghu to chip in on their respective parts. But overall, let me say, Unica has actually got launched at a time when BPO industry is going through through a very, very bad patch. And their own attrition rates and therefore their hiring rates have come down very, very significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Given that, I think Unica is performing month by month, day by day, better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And we do see that as the industry revives in the next 6 months, which in a way is good because we would have otherwise gone and expanded much faster than we would have been able to perhaps digest it.
Sure.
We have cut down the expansion as well. Mm-hmm. We think in the next 2 quarters we would be back to an established growth model. I must point out to you that the response of the employer industry has been very good. With Genpact as a starting partner, we now have 7 more partners who have extended what they call an appointment letter on joining the course possibility,
correct,
or at least making sure that they would work with Unica to offer placements.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to ask Ashish to add a couple of words on Unica's future prospects and then maybe Raghu on FMT.
Okay, so as far as Unica is concerned, I think at this point in time, we still have a large number of the registrations and inquiries who are coming in still focused around the language piece. However, we've also rolled out 2 other programs. One is on finance and accounting, and the other one is on IT services. And both of them are now, they're just about launched recently, so they're beginning to find traction. So like Vijay said, inquiries are regularly going up as well as the registrations are going up, but of course they're nowhere near the levels that you would like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
We have at this point in time 12 centers, and we would be looking at now expanding only in very select geographies where we know that there is a good catchment area,
mm-hmm,
that we are able to fulfill our partner requirements. The good news, of course, is that from the partner side, we have a lot more requirements than we are able to fulfill at this point in time. So we do expect that is something which will stand us in good stead going forward.
Okay.
Okay, let me add a few points about the FMT business, finance and management training business. Basically, what has happened last year is that we have kind of grown just marginally at 5% in the overall enrollment,
mm-hmm,
the FMT business. We have, in terms of revenue, probably stayed around static. But the point is, this all is the happening of the last few months where the banking industry has kind of frozen recruitment and the corporate sector has resorted to considering training as a kind of a discretionary expenditure.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, if you really look at it, what is it that we have done in order to strengthen our position further? We've had further institute tie-ups for new products. We have, in the banking side, created a product for the retail segment that we will be leveraging through the footprint of the individual learning solutions business. This is the diploma in financial accounting product, as well as certain other products meant for the DQ segment, which is the traditional NIIT stronghold of dual qualification segment. And we've also tied up with the ICICI Prudential Insurance business. So we've got a few more clients added. So we strengthen our position further. And what it is going to do to us is that as we look at the medium term or near term in terms of public sector banks recruitment, who have announced major recruitment plans, And also there are private banks which are waiting on the wings with several thousands of licenses to open branches. These two things should really open up the opportunity going forward. Exactly what is the time frame for it? It's something to be explored further. But given the economic environment where there's a lot of emphasis on growing the economy, banks cannot but be a central part to this whole growth agenda. And in terms of the management education, we have added products and we have taken to more efficient marketing through corporate actions, which has been proving itself very well. And we're also trying to leverage the SLT infrastructure that we have, the asynchronous learning technology infrastructure that we have, just not only for our program, but as an offering to corporate for their own training as well. So these are the things that we have done in the past to strengthen ourselves, and these are the opportunities that we are facing as we get into this year.
Sure. Just one more thing on the individual learning business, Vijay, if you can address this. We had a 3% rise in enrollments on a YOY basis in the last quarter, and I believe in the previous quarter the growth was about 23%. So is there anything more to read into it? And looking at this, can we expect the growth rates in the next year to sustain at the 20-22% level in individual learning?
No, so let's differentiate between revenue and enrollment.
Okay.
First of all, I think as I explained to you in the beginning of the call, the consumer sentiment, the sentiment at during the quarter has been weak and we have seen delayed decisions.
Okay.
At the same time, what we attribute this to is we have a large number of people inquiring but very few people joining, and those who are joining for specific purposes, for specific jobs and specific careers that they have in mind, despite the fact that we have a higher placement orientation. So what we did was an higher placement success. So what as Raghu pointed out, in this quarter we believe now that the exams are over, now that the college admissions are on, and now that the rubber is meeting the road, that you have finished your exam, you don't have a job, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You are seeing attraction of people coming back, and one important area where there is still a large amount of shortage and companies are not turning back people is infrastructure management, because of the large amount of remote infrastructure management contracts which our industry, IT industry and IT outsourcing industry is getting.
Okay.
So that is going to be our major thrust area. We also have some new products which we have launched which have come up with good success, so we believe those will contribute. The good news is we had a positive enrollment growth. It's an important element compared to last year, the previous year, when the whole world was in a euphoria of saying that, you know, people are falling over each other to make sure that they do get the jobs that were, or employers were falling over each other to get hold of people.
Okay.
Now, at this time, the situation is completely reversed.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that the momentum in enrollment growth will increase and change.
Do you
want to add a word?
Yeah, I think in terms of enrollment, with the continued growth or acceleration in the infrastructure management services area, acceleration in the diploma programs which are job directed,
mm-hmm.
and the coming back of the career program, futures program,
mm-hmm.
which in the recent months are they have been on a little bit of a deferment by the students.
Mm-hmm.
These things should add to the growth of enrollment. And I do not see an issue with a 10-15% enrollment growth for this year.
Okay. That is helpful. And lastly, one bookkeeping thing, sorry if I missed it, but what are the one-time items, including the Forex impact, during the fourth quarter particularly? Thank you very much.
Yeah. The hedging loss during the quarter itself was totally 32 million rupees.
Okay.
We had to look at the profit level. And the other changes at this time were in taxation.
Mm-hmm.
But taxation, I can only tell you the overall year impact because taxation for the year is calculated together.
Mm-hmm.
We last year had the benefit of a deferred tax asset because of Element K's accumulated losses.
Mm-hmm.
We did have a part of that benefit this year also, but we had a much larger benefit because the opening balance was higher.
Mm-hmm.
So that differential was about 67 million rupees.
Okay.
Overall.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shah. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Sehgal of Bridger Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking the question. I had a follow-up on this enrollment growth question because it seems, relative to the past few quarters, it's quite a significant difference. So I'm looking back at your historicals, and it looks like this is the first quarter with sort of sub 15% enrollment growth since the June 07 quarter. So I just want to understand how much, if you expect, as you said, 10 to 15% enrollment growth for the year, it seems to be significant catch-up expected sort of in this quarter and going forward. And I was wondering if you can throw any color on what's been happening since the end of March in the past couple of months. And also, secondly, on enrollments, if you can separate, is that only India, or can you talk about India specifically versus the strength in the rest of the world?
Okay, so let me answer the second part, and I'll defer to Raghu for the first. We are only discussing India first. Second, as you know, in rest of the world, in some parts, it is possible for us to monitor enrollments. In some parts, it's not possible for us to monitor enrollments because those are at institutional level alliances. So that also explains that many times, our revenue growth is much faster than the enrollment growth. Going forward, first we are closing the year on a fairly healthy basis as far as our order book is concerned. So one part of revenues for next year will come out of our balances which we are carrying forward. The second will come out of some of the strategies for which Raghu talked to you about new enrollments, and maybe Raghu would like to amplify a little.
Yeah, if you really look at the year-ending FY in March 09, we have actually grown enrollments at 13%. So
yeah.
Against it, when I say 10 to 15%, all we are saying is a portfolio of quarters in this year where, the last quarter has been at a 3.2%. But that is only taking advantage of two of the three important segments, the IMS segment as well as the short-term duration technology program segment. We haven't had any benefit of active enrollment in the futures fresh enrollment segment. Now, I expect that to come back because students are under pressure at the moment. And this is the right time when everybody is getting their results. And we have launched pretty good programs. We have three tracks now in the JNIT series, for example. The Business Information Systems Management, which is the track 3 in the JNIT, which includes the SAS Business Analytics Tools, which is a very strong area of requirement as well. Besides the regular software engineering, we have introduced, and we will be announcing to the world at large day after tomorrow, this is the JNIT Track 2, which is the infrastructure management services area. So the JNIT is getting extremely strong, and there is going to be a lot of uptake of that. So
okay.
I consider the last quarter futures enrollment being soft as an aberration to the in reflection of the overall sentiments, which are larger than just education business.
Okay, thanks. And then
to add to that, two fundamental questions which point to higher enrollments is, number one, I have always maintained number of college graduates have increased, number of college going students have increased, number of jobs, if at all, have decreased, not increased. So there is no reason for people not to train themselves. But at the same time, when you see that not too many jobs are going, or at least that's what you read in the newspaper, it is likely that you would worry about whether you should waste your time as well in chasing those jobs or just sit down and wait for things to improve. Now, how long will you wait for things to improve? The other thing is there is going to be peer pressure building up, and we see all those factors contributing. Having said that, we must realize that at the end of the day, it is the all the rational arguments are in favor of this. But there is an irrationality of decision making, which is perhaps what is also causing what we are watching now. So we'll have to wait and watch and see. Our focus is going to be come up with products, come up with solutions very quickly. We believe infrastructure management, there is a total market. We do not have 60% share of that market. We want to make sure that we go grab the balance of it. That cannot go away from us because that market exists. Similarly, if there are new products where there is a distinct demand, we believe that's not going to go away from us. We'll go grab it any one way. Yes, there will be areas in which there will be question marks, and that's the reason we are projecting a conservative growth rate in enrollment. It could be different because now the mood is changing. If you see the mood in the last 1 week, everybody's mood has changed to 180 degrees. So we have to wait and watch and see is what I would like to say.
Okay, and then the last question on, you spoke about the cost cuts that you made, you know, significant cost cuts on the fixed costs. So, and I think in previous quarters, Vijay, you've always said that, if I remember correctly, you can get to sort of mid-20s margins if you get to 60s somewhere utilization. I'm wondering if now with your cost base significantly lower, if you get the growth that you expect on enrollments and revenue, are you going to be, where are we going to be on the margins? Is it going to be quite a bit higher?
No, so one thing which we are committed to is margin improvement in any case, because as you know, a part of our effort every quarter used to be dedicated to growing the market as well. Now, we will have to use a substantial amount of effort in marketing even now. Having said that, I think one thing we are clear about, that if we operate at utilization levels of the kind that we are talking about now, we should be in a better margin position, because even now the full impact of what we did as changes has not been felt in all the results. It's only in this quarter perhaps that we will see the full impact of those changes. So you would see margin improvement.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot and all the best for the year ahead.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sega. Our next question is from the line of Manik Taneja of MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just wanted to understand your outlook on the corporate training side, especially the U.S. part of the business.
Yeah. No, I was going to answer it at that time, but you said thank you, so I said I'll respond to it some other time. Thanks for reminding us.
Yes.
So I would ask Ashish Basu to address that, please.
Okay, so I think we've observed two things in the U.S. Okay, so one of them is very distinctly the recession is there and it's going to be there to stay for a little bit. But for a period of about 4 months between November and February, there was also a very high level of uncertainty, which means there is a difference between knowing that, you know, you can only do a few limited things as far as the company is concerned, and the difference between not even having a stable workforce during that period. So for a period of about 4 months, we found that there was, practically no movement or no business happening at all. Now that's pretty much changed. So the recession is here to stay. The bar is much lower right now. And I think people are talking about less for lesser, which is that they actually want to get less done, but they want to pay a lot less, which is actually fairly good for the training outsourcing business. So if I were to just say what have you been seeing over the last several months, one of them is on the learning products part of the business. We are seeing fairly substantial takeaways from Skillsoft, which is something which is, we are very pleased with that. And that's come through what we're now calling real-world solutions. The big advantage that we have over our competitors is that we, in addition to online, we also have print materials. So what that allows us to do is for an organization, we can give them a solution which they can either print out and, they have a version which they can print out and conduct a normal class, or they have something which they can give to the employees to do online. And having that available synchronously seems to be a big advantage for customers who are now wanting to lower their cost structure. So we are beginning to see large wins come through that area. So learning products is actually doing fairly well. The sales team is also relatively more stable right now. As far as the training outsourcing business is concerned, we are seeing a couple of big contracts which have come in. We've started to see the growth in those. And there are a number of conversations on, so we are reasonably bullish on that. I think the two places where we are not seeing a great deal of growth, even going forward into next year, one of them is the custom business, which has been soft pretty much through the year. We are seeing that it will not really firm up over the next few quarters. And the other part that we are not we are not able to see that very clearly also is what we are calling the training center enablement business, which is the print business of Element K. So there are two which are on a good path, there are two which are not doing so good. And in the India part of the business, the government business is really looking up. We've had significant wins over the last couple of quarters. Things were very still between the middle of March and the end of April, but again we're beginning to see movement now that there is a stable government. We're expecting that to take off. And these orders are large enough to be fairly significant. So we are expecting, looking forward, that the corporate business will do a little better in the coming year than it has in the past.
Also, sir, on your government school business side, if you could just give us an idea on whether there has been a change in the broad contours of the deal wins that you have had in Gujarat, Rajasthan, and AP.
Is there a change in broad contours?
Yes, sir.
Well, you must know that the basic funding mechanism for most of these deals are only two. One is ICT at schools, which is where the large deals come from, and the second is Sarva Shiksha Abhiyan, which is where smaller deals come from. ICT at schools is a fairly standard model of a build, own, operate, transfer, where the winning party or the tendered party invests in putting IT infrastructure in schools, provides teachers, and runs the schools for 5 years or so. Number of teachers, number of computers per school may vary from place to place, but by and large, even that is standard. So typically a school is between 10 to 12 lakhs for a 5 year period and is tendered for so. Typically there are 4 to 6 parties, one or two will be local, two or three will be national, and of course it's an L1, T1 bidding, which is where we mostly succeed, which where technical specs are also given weightage. So that is the basic contour. Now, Gujarat order, which we got recently, it had a larger hardware component percentage than the services component. But that also happens between. Rajasthan also had a similar, little higher one. Assam has little lower. Chhattisgarh has little lower. So those things change.
Sir, do the contours change between a school order awarded under ICT at school and something awarded under SSA?
It depends on, once again, the scope of the tender.
Okay.
If the scope of the tender is to provide boot, the way I described, it should not matter who funded it.
So, sir, is there a difference between Rajasthan and the Gujarat order?
Else, sometimes there is a teacher training element, sometimes there is a content development element, then the scope can change.
Sir, is there a difference between the Gujarat order and the Rajasthan order?
They're very similar.
Sir, because I was just working numbers, maybe I might be getting the numbers wrong. I'll take it offline with you.
Yes, sure.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Taneja. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants who have a question may please press star and one. Our next question is from the line of Krupal Maniar of ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to know what is the amount of closing order book in individual learning solutions?
Individual learning solutions. One moment, I'll just give it to you.
Sure.
Yeah. Raghu, you can give.
Is 146.2 crores.
But this is only India, right? That's only India.
India.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what is the amount of outstanding receivables?
In individual learning business, next to zero.
Hey, for the company as a whole?
Oh, for the company as a whole. We have this year, just one moment, I'm just sharing this. Our receivables at the end of this year were 2906 million rupees, 2904 million rupees.
Okay. And like, what is the amount of the tax rate we can assume for next year?
What is the
tax rate?
What is the tax rate you can assume next year?
Yes, I think December is high. close to 25% around?
Yeah, and as I mentioned to you, the tax rate now will determine on the mix of business that you get from India and you get through exports. So this year, since the export profitability would have been lower, our tax rate, effective tax rate, would have been higher because the domestic performance was massively better than the export performance. So it would be reasonable to assume a trend of that kind, I would say between 15% to 20%.
Okay. Is there any broad comment on the margins of different businesses, like how it would trend going ahead?
Yeah. You would see a margin improvement in every business, and I'll give you reasons for each one of them. In individual learning solutions, the margin improvement will come from A, product mix, B, higher percentage of international operations. I think what is not visible in our total enrollment is orders like the order that we have from Government of South Africa, where it is to train us a number of people, but it's in the individual learning solution format. That's not visible as enrollment, but those are orders which will help us clock up the revenue growth that we are looking at in the international space. So, international business, product mix, and capacity utilization, and cost management, fixed cost management. These are the four drivers for margin improvement in individual learning solutions. In school learning solutions, the larger part of government schools in the product mix, the scale that we are achieving in private schools, which will overcome the sales and marketing fixed effort that is going on at this point of time, as well as we are seeing an improved success rate and profitability in the government business as well. The third, in the corporate learning solutions business, it is the cost management issue and a very singular focus on two product lines, which is learning products as well as training outsourcing, both of which happen to be high margin products, sorry, government, and government, which would provide the volume. So, if I was to say broadly what will constitute or what will contribute to margin improvement, cost management is a common denominator. We are very, very conscious of any penny of cost that is being incurred. The second would be improved product mix and focusing on a few things rather than distributing our effort over many.
Okay. And so, like, when do we expect to break even in NIIT Unica?
Typically, a business of this kind takes about 5 quarters to break even. We are now in the we have just finished 2 quarters. So I would say 3 more quarters, and I think by this time the business sentiment would have also recovered to an extent that it will permit them to break even. As you know, if their losses are declining as we go quarter on quarter.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Manyar. Our next question is from the line of Shweta Diwan of IDFC SSKI. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir. Sir, I just wanted to know your view on the ICT space. So do you think, with the L1 bidding and a lot of players aggressively bidding in the space, profitability could be under pressure from the government side? How do you see the number of projects coming in? Is there any target that we have for the year?
Yeah. Two things which I would like to mention. What you just mentioned is normally true for all the government schools business. But in the last 2 or 3 situations we have seen, and maybe it is because of liquidity pressures which the rest of the industry is facing, is that people have not been as desperate as before. So we have been able to get better pricing, slightly better pricing than before. We also believe that in this space, if you have to get going, then you should have adequate access to capital, and therefore not everybody can jump into the fray. And having said that, the government buying pattern is also becoming more mature. They are giving more weightage to technical bid, unlike looking at the lowest bid. So all these are contributing to better margin. Of course, we are also improving ourselves in execution. So that itself contributes. As regards as potential for this year is concerned, now that we have a stable government, we believe that they should be tendering out between 15,000 to 20,000 schools this year.
Okay. So, a substantial part of our capex is probably going to go towards these projects. Just wanted to understand what kind of an ROC would we be comfortable with on this case?
Okay. If you look at the ROC of a school project in its lifetime, it's very different from what you see in the early years. Because the early years, the denominator is very large, mm-hmm. and the return is lower in the beginning. As time progresses, your return marginally improves, and your denominator reduces. Okay, so overall, internal rate of return on projects of this kind should be in excess of 16%.
And they are achieving that as of now.
If you take a look at a completed project, you would see. But if you take a spot picture at this point of time, you would not see.
Fair.
For the simple reason, because we launched Rajasthan, and by the way, we just added Gujarat 1,870 schools, which is not mentioned in this release because it's relating to fourth quarter.
So you don't see any pressure on the space going ahead incrementally?
I must point out one more thing. You get extensions to existing projects which also increase the return. But I just gave you the IRR on the basis of a five-year project.
Extension would be a pure services model?
Yeah, that would be pure services.
Okay. So on the private schools front, if I'm correct, we've added about 45 schools in the current quarter.
In this quarter. Yes.
So could you just, is that up to our expectations or do we expect to do a higher growth or is this the number of schools we expect to add in the coming quarters?
It is most certainly not up to our expectations or up to our potential. But remember, this is a product which we launched only a couple of quarters ago, so we are beginning to get successes.
Right.
And we are gaining momentum and are winning against competition. The important question is we have to scale this up rapidly, and that is one of the important challenges we have to face this year.
Right. So is there any target or estimate that you can give out in terms of the schools you're planning to add?
Okay. I think we added 217 private schools last year.
Mm-hmm.
We should definitely go beyond 350.
In the current year.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the ILS side, I just wanted to understand what is the percentage of our net revenues coming from the different geographies?
What is the percentage of net revenues coming from different geographies? Do we have that number available immediately? Maybe we would have to share that with you. Are you coming for the meeting tomorrow? Then we will share that with
you. Okay. All right, sir.
We normally have system-wide revenue breakup.
Okay, sure, sir. So just wanted to understand one thing on that front. You spoke about margin expansion on the ILS business because of a higher percentage on the international ops. So the margins, what is the margin differential coming from India operations and international operations?
See, it depends on the level of operation, as I mentioned. It always depends on the level of volume at which you are operating. At this point, so if you get a project of the kind like you get in South Africa, then it would come with a decent margin. Why? Because we don't have to create capacity and wait for people to come.
Right.
We don't have to create a force which has to go open new centers and wait for those centers to start generating revenue. So the issue is, the answer is not very simple, but volume is the key determinant of margin.
So, but if I'm not wrong, this is a franchisee revenue that we'll be getting from the international operations?
There will always be a franchisee involved. Now, whether he is involved depends on the business model we have first. Mostly, yes, you are right. Most of it is franchise operation.
Okay, sir. I'll follow up.
Always comes with a better margin.
Okay.
Our revenue goes in our P&L.
Okay, sir. I'll follow up with you tomorrow then. Thank you.
Yes. We look forward to having you with us.
Thank you, Mr. Van. Our next question is from the line of Pawan Sadarangani of Dipan Mehta Stockbrokers. Please go ahead.
So in your ILS business,
yes.
In India, the average capacity utilization required for break-even would be around 35%, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so then it would be fair to assume that all the centers now are breaking even since you are expanding?
Not necessarily. It depends on where the center is in its life. So if you open the center, the center takes about a year and a half to reach break-even level. Typically, a good center will reach break-even in first year, cash break-even at least.
Okay. So any guidance you would like to give on your overall top-line growth?
I think what we have talked to you about is how each business is going to function going forward, and I think the summation of that would represent the top line.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Satarangani. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to
ask
their questions.
Hello?
Yes, sir?
Oh, yeah. Okay, now, sorry.
Question is from the line of Vipul Arora of Aadhaar Securities. Please go ahead.
The question's been answered, thanks.
Thank you, Mr.
Arora. I would also like to take many more questions, but I'm also conscious of one more call that we have in a short while. If we could take the last two questions, and we could look forward to having a one-on-one tomorrow. The whole of our management team will be there, and we would be there for most of the day. So even if you land up early at the venue, we would be happy to have one-on-one chats with you. So could we just restrict this to last two questions right now, please?
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nimish Joshi of CLSA. Please go ahead.
Two questions. One on how big is your eGuru coverage? Probably I missed it at the start of the call. How big is your eGuru school coverage right now?
When you say how big, would you mean whether it is
number of schools?
Yes, it is.
Number of schools.
A total number of schools which are covered. See, the whole product line is called eGuru.
Okay.
But if you are referring to how much of it is non-IT subjects and
that's
stuff
right.
like that.
That's
yeah.
right.
It will be about 100 odd schools because it's a newly launched product.
Okay. And secondly, on the ICT, I just wanted to understand one thing. Are some of these schools' new contracts, are they on upfront hardware purchase kind of model wherein the government pays you upfront, or all these are where you will receive the payment even on the hardware over the period of the contract?
In some cases, the government does consider paying at the time of hardware installation.
Okay.
In some cases, they pay more when you more than their, should I say, quarterly installment when you finish installing hardware. So those are different payment terms.
Yeah. And one thing, I mean, suppose they pick. Pay you upfront. Do they pay only make a part payment upfront? Are such structures also prevalent?
Yes. So in
that case, how do you book your revenues? Do you book entire revenue?
No, revenue is never booked on the way they pay us. Revenue is booked on the way we deliver the service and deliver the contract. That's our revenue recognition policy.
No, that's what I'm saying. So basically, if sold the hardware to them and they made only say 50% payment, but you will recognize the entire revenue upfront. Is that the case?
No, if the contract was to that our part of the services was separated out between supply of hardware,
okay.
then the way you are suggesting it seems like that it is a deferred payment that
right.
they agreed to. In
right.
which case you would book the revenue, but you would clear them as receivables, and you'll carry them as receivables.
Right. Got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Joshi. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, our last question is from the line of Shweta Devan of IDFC SSKI. Please go ahead.
So just one last question. Just wanted to clarify. We have around 27 crores of other income for the year.
Yes.
So what is the source of this? Is it an exceptional item or?
During the year?
Yes, so for FY19.
Okay. I have the full breakup of our other income, which I can quickly share with you as we close this call. So other income is constituted by the following elements. One is the interest. In interest, we have a negative, which means we have paid more interest than we have earned. Okay, and that is 302 million. Then we have exchange fluctuation gain, which is 96 million. and then we have an ineffective hedge loss, which is 52 million, and we have a non-operating income of 158 million. And this is one exceptional item, which is when I was reconciling last year and this year, I told you there was a positive kicker, and that is there was a land which we had, which actually had to be handed over to the university, and going by the law, we have to book a profit on the capital gains arising out of the transfer of that land.
Okay.
So that was booked in the other income as well, and this was in the second or third quarter. Second quarter.
Okay, that is the 158 million.
Yeah, and that we had already shared with you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Vand. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Thadani for the closing comments.
So I would like to thank each one of you for your keen interest as well as participation. I do appreciate the fact that there were many more questions that you would have liked to ask and many more clarifications. I feel happy that we will be there tomorrow in person and would like to spend as much time as you would like to share with us, to talk to us. If you would like to book some time with us, I would recommend if you can either send a mail to Kapil Saurabh, which is kapil.saurabh, kapil.saurabh@niit.com. Or even call him up on his number, which is
9899111793.
And somebody called immediately. So, but we would be very happy to spend as much time as you would like. And if there are any other follow-up questions, we would like to address them at that time. Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mr. Thadani. Thank you, gentlemen of the NIIT management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NIIT Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us on the Chorus Call Conferencing Service, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.